Kevin Woodley, we can't put him on hold much longer, from In Goal Magazine and NHL.com. He watched the Oilers live in Vancouver, watched them again live last night in Vernon, and which is great because both backup goalies played those two games. So we're going to talk pros and cons, Gustavsson, Lauren Brossoit with Woodley. Woodley, how you doing?
I'm doing good. I'm doing good. Just almost back into Vancouver from Kraft Hockeyville up in Lumbee and Vernon. It was a great weekend. Two in a row for BC that I've covered and enjoyed them both thoroughly. It's nice to kind of get out into the small communities, and you know, it's you really do kind of get the sense of how much it meant to them having the NHL there. You should have seen the mob that was there for McDavid, and I gotta give him credit too. I give the Oilers credit for sending that lineup, in like night and day compared to what the Canucks sent to Victoria the year before. And credit to McDavid and his teammates for the amount of time they spent with the fans yesterday. It was really it was a real treat to watch how they handled the whole thing. It was nice.
Now, the backup goalie debate, for me, I kind of have an obvious angle. I won't tell you what mine is. Give me your thoughts on both Gustavsson and Brossoit from what you've seen from each one of their games.
Well, I mean, small sample size, obviously, but looking at the bigger picture in terms of where they both are as goaltenders, I believe still that Lauren Brossoit is a better goaltender than Jonas Gustavsson. But that doesn't mean that I think he's better suited for the backup role if Talbot is going to be a 60-game starter for you this season. You're going to need three. That's the reality of today's NHL. And so if you've got a guy who's waiver eligible or doesn't require waivers to go down, like Brossoit, and you can let him continue to play a lion's share of games in the American Hockey League.
We will we'll try to get Woodley back in a second. Looks like his phone has gone on the schneid. See what happens. That'll be a fine for Woodley, by the way. That'll be a fine. Maybe we'll put him on hold. See what happens. I think we got him back now. Woodley, are you there?
I never left. I heard you the entire time. Okay. My apologies. I must say it.
Okay, no problem. So you think because of the amount of games Talbot plays, Brossoit's development is better served playing a lot of games in the NHL?
Well, I mean, I kind of see it both ways. I think they've got a good goalie coach and the kind of guy that can do the work required to keep Brossoit fresh and keep him moving forward if he's not playing. But you're probably going to need three, and I just like the idea of having a guy who you can bring back up and count on. Maybe even if, you know, heaven forbid something happens to Talbot, Brossoit gets to come up and be in rhythm and be on timing and play more than Gustavsson in that situation. You know, Gustavsson, I got a chance to watch him in Vancouver, and he's a guy that they're working with him right now on trying to find some consistency and some reasoning in his positioning. He played a very aggressive game in Detroit, which was mandated by Mike Babcock and the coaching staff there. That's the way he wants his goalies to play, way outside the blue paint. Trust the system, trust the structure, trust the defenseman to take away the back door. We want you playing aggressive. Backed off a bit in Boston, picked up some habits from Tuukka Rask in terms of post play that Tuukka makes work, but other goalies can't. There are things in his game that need tightened up, that need to be worked on in order for him to be a more consistent goaltender in the NHL level. And I believe, from a technical standpoint, Brossoit is ahead of him. But if they've got that time to work, he embraces the role. He understands the backup role. He's comfortable playing every couple of weeks. And that's not always easy. That can be an adjustment for a guy like Brossoit, who's used to playing more often. So if you have a chance to give Brossoit the year to play, maintain him as an option to come up in case somebody gets hurt, it just kind of makes sense. And I think that Gustavsson can give you good goaltending every couple of weeks. That said, I mean, I got to be honest, if I'm looking at the big picture, I still think Brossoit is a better goaltender.
Kevin Woodley from In Goal Magazine, NHL.com, joins us. And I won't argue with that, Kevin. I probably would agree. But when I look at the order schedule and I look at Cam Talbot, who's clearly their starter, they in the month of October, you could run the table with Talbot, play him all nine games. There's no back-to-backs. He gets 2 days off between games twice. To me, as a goalie, you want to get him red hot. This team needs a strong start. And come November, when you get into a backup or get back-to-back situation, if you have to, then you can recall Brossoit and put Gustavsson down in the AHL for a weekend to get some games in and then swip him again, right?
Yeah, absolutely. You could do that. And looking at that schedule, that even, to me, makes more sense to keep Gustafson. You're seeing some teams right now make some moves, some roster moves, that are based on fear of losing guys on waivers. I don't know that Gustafson's a guy that would necessarily get claimed, but look at what the Los Angeles Kings did today. One of their early moves in the preseason was to send Jack Campbell, who played last night, and Peter Budaj down to the minor leagues, because they have a real fear that they're going to lose Peter Budaj on waivers, or they had that fear. American Hockey League Goaltender of the Year last year, a guy who really is comfortable in the backup role. Carey Price will tell you, the best backup he ever had. And so there was some concern by the Kings that they might lose him on waivers, so that's why they made the move so early. They didn't want to wait further into the preseason. Maybe a team gets an injury and needs a guy like Peter Budaj. So if you're the Oilers and you're thinking along the same lines, and you can put Brossoit down there with no penalty, no risk of losing him, it just makes all the sense in the world right now to go that way. And like you said, see how things play out in November. If Talbot is playing every game in October, Gustafson is a guy that understands the role and will work hard in the role, and that gives Dustin Schwartz a chance to work with him on some of the little details that they see aren't sharp enough or are inconsistent based on the way he's played in the past. And maybe that's enough time to tighten those things up and allow him to have more consistency playing limited games.
Kevin Woodley from In Goal Magazine, NHL.com, joins us. Now, Kevin, going back to Brossoit, you said that technically you feel he's a better goalie right now than Gustafson. Last season late, when he came up to Edmonton, he didn't have a lot of success. What has he worked on in his game? What is he going to continue to work on in his game to be somebody who could push to be a starter down the road?
Well, I mean, he's already excellent. We talked about this late last year. He's so good in tight. Just his patience, and you saw it last night. He made a couple really tough saves look really easy. Just kind of not going down early, absorbing shots, not chasing plays wide, just kind of letting the play come to him, and minimal movements, just kind of little leans. And there was a blocker save in the final minute that, you know, if he's defaulting to drop and block, that goes in. But because he's patient and he's going down and he's tracking it the whole way, he's able to react with that blocker. And to me, that's one of the big differences between him and Gustafson. Gustafson is down early and reaching and extending with his arms. Brossoit moves into shots. To me, a couple of the issues for him are managing traffic, a tendency to retreat a little bit and get back on his heels when there's a lot of traffic in front of him. Tough goal the other night, or last night, top shelf glove on a quick play, quick shot on a kind of loose puck scramble, but he maybe has to fight a little harder to find that one so he can see it. The other thing is just to take that same dynamic he has when the play gets in tight in terms of not defaulting to block and keeping those hands active and being a more reactive goaltender and trusting that when the play's out further off the rush. That's what seemed to burn him last year. He's got good hands, just needs to kind of trust them and keep them a little more active when he's facing kind of some of those long shots off the rush. And that was something that plagued him, as we said, last year. So, you know, the kind of goals that Jack Campbell gave up last night to Puljujarvi, the first one. Not a good goal, according to Daryl Sutter. Not a good goal from where I stood right behind him. And there were a couple of those that Brossoit gave up last year. The kind you can't afford to give up if you want to stay in the NHL.
Kevin, I watched some film of Ryan Miller, and I was kind of chuckling because it looked like he was wearing a barrel around his waist. His pants were so loose. And they are going to get the streamlined pants. I saw Campbell wearing quicks yesterday. What do you make of the pants and the pad situation? What's happening with the pants? Are we going to see them in the NHL to start next week?
Okay, we'll start with the pants, and then we'll go to the pads that Campbell was wearing. I don't think you are going to see them in the NHL next week. I believe they are going to have to give another week to get the pants. I understand there are some shipments coming. One of the companies has delivered their pants, but two others are still in the process. And don't forget, like, we're talking about pants for 60 goalies. They have to not just go straight to the goaltenders. They got to go to the NHL offices, to Toronto. Kay Whitmore has to inspect them, measure them, sign off on them. Then they get shipped out to their team. So that's a process in itself. The fact that those pants aren't in Toronto yet, again, I'm under the impression they're going to be shipped this week. But the fact they're not there yet tells me they're not going to be ready to start the NHL season. And that's kind of interesting. You mentioned Miller. He's wearing his old pants, and he has a pair of the new ones. Not his last set. Like, he's got a new. He's one of the guys who's waiting on his final version to come, but he had a sample set. And I haven't had a chance to ask him this because I was up in Hockeyville, but I am kind of curious that he's still wearing his old ones. Who said he could be breaking in? It makes you wonder a little bit if he thinks, if they don't get the pants to start the season, are they going to be able to mandate it a weekend? Will they give him a grace period, or will they be pushed back to start? I'm not sure. My understanding as of right now is, yes, it's a little behind. It may not be there for the first game of the season, but within that first week or so, everybody should have them, and it'll be interesting to see if they give them any more grace period beyond that week before they have to start wearing them. Because you're right, the skinnier goalies, the long, lean guys with the little waists, are the ones that are going to start to look smaller. Now, Miller's tried them. He doesn't think they're that big a difference. He doesn't think it's going to be a problem. He, like I said, he had a set in the summer, and doesn't seem to think it's going to be a big issue. It's not as tight as maybe some people were concerned it would be. Yes, it contours more around the thigh. Yes, that leaves a little less room for knee pads underneath, and some of the guys that wear bigger knee protection and play a narrow butterfly that exposes their knees are a little concerned about how that will fit together and integrate when they get the new pants. But from the couple of guys that have seen them and tried them, you know, they don't think it's going to be a big deal. Maybe what the NHL gets out of this is pucks that are kind of hitting them just off the side, not flush in the middle of the legs, but just catch, they get a piece of, are going to be more likely to still end up on or in the net than in the past, where the front of the leg pant was flatter and it was wider, and those pucks would have had a better chance of kind of dying in that pant or staying out in front of them. So it's a full 9-inch contour wrapped around the front of the thigh. I'm going to be curious how big guys like Jonathan Quick with massive legs, Thomas Greiss, how they fit into them. But they did have samples at the World Cup, and the NHL talked to the goalies as they were coming off after games and practices, spent time with the goalies at the World Cup going over the new equipment, and I'm told a lot of the feedback was positive. There were goalies were making suggestions on, you know, how they take the next step, not just with the pants, but with the chest and arms. So this is all going to happen. The pants will happen, maybe not game one, but within the first week or 2 weeks. And the chest and arm is coming. The fact it didn't happen this season, I know some people are upset, but I think, as I said all along, it was important to get it right, and now they've got time to go back and get it right for next year.
And why was Campbell wearing Quick's pads?
Yeah, I was curious on that one, too. And to be honest, the NHL and Kay Whitmore, who was there last night, was kind of it piqued his eyebrows, too, because obviously he signed off on those pads for Jonathan Quick, not for Jack Campbell. And you really do have to have every piece of equipment inspected and signed off by the NHL. Now, fortunately, he has in his database a reference of what the measurements are, and he looks it up and sees that Quick's pads are shorter than Campbell's, so there's no harm, no foul, but not the kind of thing you want to see. Basically, what that is Campbell switching back to Vaughn equipment. I believe he'd been wearing CCM when he was with Dallas, and he wanted to go back to Vaughn, something he wore growing up. And because the factories are behind to try and catch up, because they waited so long in the summer to hear that, hey, we're not doing the chest and arm, now you better start building all the chest and arms to the old specs. And because they're behind making these pants, they only got, you know, the final go-ahead a couple weeks ago, and they've got to make them all. Jack Campbell's pads aren't there yet. So he went and tried on a pair of Jonathan Quick's in practice. He liked them, liked the way they felt. They're a softer pad. They move with his legs a little better. He feels like he could be more of a skating goalie in them. So he switched. So it's just another example of, you know, the stress that these equipment changes have put on the manufacturers is very real. It has put them behind. They are in a rush to get this stuff to them. And in the case of Campbell, it's at the expense of having the time to make sure his pads were ready for that exhibition game last night.
And one last one for you, Kevin, quickly. Of all the goalies, let's say that tomorrow they came in with all new pants. Like, I look at Miller and think, man, this guy's going to struggle. Which other goalies do you think, in theory, might struggle adapting to the new slimline pants when they eventually come out?
Well, I don't know if they'll struggle to adapt, but they you know, who's going to be, there's kind of two questions. Who's going to be most impacted in terms of appearance? Who's going to look smaller in them? Who's going to drop more than one size potentially? And who's going to struggle with the adjustment? I don't. Miller doesn't seem to think he's going to struggle with the adjustment, but you may notice a difference in size just because he is one of the longer, leaner guys. Jacob Markstrom, not to pick on the Canucks, but Markstrom is a guy that was singled out to me by the people in charge of this as someone who had really wide sort of barrel pants. Because he's so tall and because he's so long, he ended up in a sizing chart area where he got a wider waist as well. And the reason I think it might be a bigger adjustment for him is twofold. One, he still will have a little more grace than other guys because he tucks his chest and arm into his pants. So guys that tuck their chest and arm in are going to get a little more space around the waist to do so. But it's going to be a snugger fit than it used to be. And that may, just the comfort level of that may be a little different. But mostly, he's a guy who has, at times in the past, struggled or had taken time to adjust what I call his block-react threshold. In other words, when is the play so close that he just has to go down and close up the holes and make sure nothing goes through him, and when does he have time to react? And early in his career, he would tried to be too patient, and pucks went through his body. So if he feels mentally like he doesn't have the coverage he used to, he may be more apt to default to that blocking technique early out of fear that pucks are going to go through him because he won't be able to kind of close up that gap outside of his thighs with his arms as well or as easily as he used to. So he may be kind of pulling those hands down and tight a little bit sooner than he was, say, at the end of last year when he looked really comfortable with that dynamic between blocking and reacting. And, you know, in some ways this is what the NHL is after, right? If you don't trust your coverage, you're going to default down and you're going to default into a block maybe a little earlier, and that's going to open up more space elsewhere. So I know Markstrom's game. I know that's been an adjustment in the past. He is a guy the league has singled out to me. So I hate to pick on him, but he's an example. And any guy who kind of struggles with that dynamic could face the same thing. A guy like Pekka Rinne, who plays a pure reactive game, he opens up a lot of holes. So is he more affected? This is what I want to see. Is he more affected because those holes between the arms and the legs and the body get bigger? Or does the fact he reacts just allow him to move into more pucks? Is he going to be able to get away with it? I'll be honest with you, I don't have the answer, Jason. It's going to be fascinating to see that dynamic play out, first with the pants and then especially next year with the chest and arm, because – you know, again, different guys with different sort of preferences, playing styles, trust in their reactive elements are going to take longer to adjust than others. And I have a hunch on a few, like for example, Markstrom, but you can't be sure, and it's going to be really interesting. I think if you're an NHL team, you're scratching your head and hoping it's not your guy, that's for sure.
Kev, always good to talk to you, man. We'll talk to you next Monday. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Jason.